Coming up on this edition of Locked On Wizards, we've got to get into the Baltimore versus DMV confusion, clearing the air on that. Anthony Barkley, host of Mobtown Blitz, is on the show for this special NFL edition, talking about Dez Bryant to the Ravens, breaking down the Ravens-Steelers matchup Sunday, and getting into the way the season has been playing out so far, looking at injuries, big plays, and the not-so-big plays. All those details and more on this special football edition of Locked On Wizards.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Happy Wednesday and welcome to another edition of Locked On Wizards. I'm your host, Renee Washington, and joining us today, we've got Anthony Barkley, host of Mobtown Blitz, on the show from Baltimore. Welcome. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here. Yes. Shout out Baltimore.
I am thrilled to have you here because we always take time on this show. Of course, it's, you know, we're always talking Wizards, but we're talking all things DMV. So what better team than the Baltimore Ravens? I know you avidly were saying on your Twitter page how Baltimore is in the DMV, right?
No, it's not. Right? It is not. Don't do
I'm
that.
Just kidding.
Do not do that.
You're one of the biggest people saying that Baltimore is in the DMV.
Never said that.
Never.
Never.
I actually have said that. But it's like, it's so close. You know, I understand why people confuse it. It's like you basically consider it part of when you were referring to sports in the DMV, even though, you know, Baltimore is not in the DMV, you know?
Okay. So here's a perfect way
to
describe what's in the DMV and what's not. And this is someone from Baltimore. Okay. If you have access to the DC metro system and the DC like bus service, that makes you part of the DMV. Anything else? No. So if you can ride all the subways and the trains and the DC, all the color lines, that makes you part of the DMV. Baltimore is not. Okay. Baltimore is like its own part of Maryland, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Like there's Maryland and then there's Baltimore.
And, you know, I kind of get that because I know I'm from Jersey and a lot of people will say like Jersey is basically Philly. And I'm like, well, first of all, Philly's not a state. So there's problem number one. But when you're in South Jersey, like I live in South Jersey, I don't live in Philly. I live in South Jersey. It's a whole different state, whole different area, whole different zip code and all that stuff. It's not the same. It's the same thing with Baltimore and the DMV. And I know I've been guilty of it. So I apologize.
It's all good. I mean, the Capitals did it too. When Ovechkin made the cover of like NHL and they were like, oh, just like DMV. And everyone was just like, no, absolutely not. We're not part of it.
Yeah, I feel like you mostly get people that are truly from the area that understand and get the most mad about it. Outside is just like lumping it all together. Because you think DMV, you think Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, but it's not necessarily that clean of a, like, it's not that breakdown.
Nope, it's DC, Southern Maryland, Northern Virginia. That's how it is.
There it is. Well, let's get into Baltimore. Let's talk about it because on the football side, some exciting news. Dez Bryant. I love Dez Bryant. Back. And the Baltimore Ravens are finalizing a deal to sign him to the practice squad. You know, we know that's just the beginning of things to come. I know you've been closely following the Ravens, especially over the last week. You know, Dez Bryant hasn't played in an NFL game since December 2017, but it's Dez. We've seen him working out. We've seen what he's been doing on his own. He's back. First of all, I just can't believe that in itself. But what were your thoughts when you saw the news breaking on Tuesday around the signing of Dez Bryant?
It came as a shock because I thought that the Ravens were actually happy with their receiving corps because, or at least that's what they stated coming into the season. I know they gave Dez a workout prior to the season starting. So the fact that they actually did go ahead and sign him lets me know that not only are they not happy with some of the receivers, I'm mainly talking about Miles Boykin and possibly Willie Snead, but those guys are on the clock to get some production going or they will be replaced. more specifically Miles Boykin, who everyone was really looking forward to having a big year this year, and he just hasn't done it. He and Lamar just don't really seem like they're on the same page. I don't know what's going on, but every time Lamar throws his way, it seems like he's just getting frustrated that either Miles isn't throwing the right route, or there's some communication that's off between those two. So having Dez is actually really good. Really good for Miles. Can have him see what a big body receiver can do and give some lessons and get coached by it. So we'll see.
Yeah. I do think it'd be great to bring him into the offense. He's a veteran. We've seen, obviously his success over the years. I don't expect him to come back exactly like he looked when he was in Dallas. You know, it has been some time. I'm expecting a different Dez Bryant, but there are some players that even if they're not at their best, an older, I don't like the word washed up, but an older version, more seasoned, we'll go seasoned. A seasoned version of them still is going to be someone that can hopefully help bring this team, what they need. So I like your points there around just the fact that it challenges the other receivers, because it's like, okay, don't get complacent. You still have to earn your job. And this is showing them like we at any moment can be bringing someone in to possibly replace you if you don't handle business.
It's a what have you done for me lately league. And the receivers haven't really done much. But for a 5-1 team, the problems that they do have, it's just they're not really clicking offensively, but somehow still able to manage near 30 points a game. It's beyond me. So that's a good problem to have. But then again, the talent level that they've played against hasn't really been the best outside of Kansas City.
What are you talking about? You played my Eagles. I mean, come on.
And if it wasn't for a second half meltdown, that game should have been over by like halftime. I would say
it should have been over. But that game gave us Eagles fans a little bit of hope, because it's like, oh, wait a minute, hold on, we got a little extra in our tank. Carson Wentz and can lead this team against the Baltimore Ravens, who's a top team in the league, or should be, as you mentioned, a better performing team in the league than what they are right now. That was inspiring as an Eagles fan, to be honest. But as you mentioned, I do think the Ravens as a whole have been struggling, which is crazy to say because you look at their wins, but they beat the Bengals, they beat the Eagles, they beat the Washington football team. These aren't convincing wins whatsoever. We saw them lose to the Chiefs earlier in the season. But overall, from start to finish, they've got to be able to play better football. And I still don't think we've seen the team that we were expecting to see coming in the season, especially a hungry team off of an MVP season in Lamar, a playoff letdown last year. I feel like we all expected the bar to raise, and they've underperformed in that sense.
Yeah, being here for that playoff loss was rough, because I was downtown at some of the bars. And I mean, you would have really thought that like half the city had just like went through something severely tragic, just the loss and the sadness on everyone's face. They looked so depressed and angry and just, why can't we get this done? And then when we lost to the Chiefs, you would have honestly thought that we just got knocked out of the playoffs, that the season's over. Everyone just kind of went to like this hysteria of just, what is wrong with them? Why can't they get it done? I mean, I even, got caught up in it for a minute. I had to catch myself and like, it's only one game. Relax, they'll get it fixed. But it is frustrating, when you see how good that team can be. Like I said, they're stumbling into 30 points a game, and it's not the cleanest looking offense, but you just see it there and you're just wondering, why can't they just get it right? But hopefully the bye week will come, and then with a game like coming up against the Steelers, this is the one that you absolutely need to wake up for. So the big rivalry game, everyone's excited about it around town, and it's hopefully that'll get everyone going to just get what they need to do offensively. So hopefully everything will click offensively for the Ravens off this bye week.
We definitely have more to get into around the Ravens. First, I just want to say I think Dez Bryant's name will be called up to the full roster sooner than later. I expect to see that happening. But I want to get more on your thoughts around the Ravens as they prepare to take on the Steelers in the AFC North matchup on Sunday. An undefeated Steelers team versus a 5-1 Ravens team looking to take over the division. That's going to be a big one. So we've got to get into that rivalry game and the matchup here on Locked On Wizards. Let me tell you guys about the delicious treat that's going to allow you to snack healthy. That's right. You can do both. If you know me, you know I have a sweet tooth. I enjoy cupcakes, cookies, brownies, all the sweets. And Built Bar actually has delicious flavors. Let me just run down some of my favorites. Cookies and cream, double chocolate, mint brownie, salted caramel, yes, caramel, not caramel, and peanut butter brownie. Delicious. All bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they're healthy. So it's great if you are on a keto diet or working to lose or maintain weight. You can do all that while snacking on a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. And I definitely recommend Built Bar. So if you head over to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. Now you can save money, eat healthy, and eat delicious. Does it get any better than that? So go head on over to BuiltBar.com to try the best tasting protein bars. And I can guarantee you, from me to you, you will not regret it. Happy Wednesday, everyone. I hope you're having a great day so far and enjoying this edition of Locked On Wizards with Anthony Barkley, host of Mobtown Blitz, joining me, your host, Renee Washington, for this special NFL edition, specifically looking at the Baltimore Ravens. Now, we've already cleared up all the confusion around Baltimore and the DMV. I know I've been guilty of it myself. I can admit it. I can admit when I'm wrong. But looking at the Ravens' 5-1 start so far with some wins that have not been as impressive. A win is a win, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, coming into the Steelers matchup on Sunday for an AFC North rivalry game, this is going to be a game that has a lot more weight to it and also is a big test for both teams. An undefeated Steelers team, a divisional battle, a battle for the top of the, not only the AFC North, but for the AFC as a whole. There's a lot riding on this game Sunday as the Ravens host the Steelers. So, Anthony, what is it that you expect to see in this clash of the AFC?
It's a typical Ravens-Steelers matchup, so I don't expect anything different than that. I expect this game to be decided somewhere in the five-minute mark in the fourth quarter because that's just how these games get played. This is the heart attack game that everyone's just like, you're on the edge of your seat. It's your rival. It's trash talking on social media with fans and friends of the Steelers. And look, I said it at first, week one, when the Steelers played the Giants, I was a little skeptical. I was like, all right, the Giants are kind of, they're not the best team in the world, but the defense just looked absolutely unreal. And then watching them week in and week out, I'm just like, all right, maybe there's something here. Maybe there's some substance here. And then when they beat your Eagles, I was like, man, like, all right, this is probably a good team. Like, maybe a little bit better than not giving them more credit for. And then when they played against the Titans, now, albeit it was a missed field goal that got them the win, but they still this got the true. Win. And I was like, all right, this is a legit team. This is, you know, they're good. Because they absolutely shut down Derrick Henry. And I was like, all right, if they can do that, this, you know, it's like I said, it's just one of those typical Ravens Steelers matchups that someone's going to make a big play right around the 5-minute mark in the fourth quarter that's going to lead to a kicker making a field goal. Hopefully it's Justin Tucker for the game winner. And that's just how these games play out. Like, if you look at it over the history of this rivalry, it's always come down to some crazy turnover or some crazy big play late in the game, followed by some late score. And within a few exceptions of some blowouts here and there, but yep, that's how these games turn out. It's a hard attack.
Sounds about right. I mean, the crazy thing is the Ravens are coming in with their lone loss being to the Chiefs, which was a game everybody expected to be a much better game than what it was.
Yes.
But, you know, you look at their games compared to the Steelers, the Titans game this past week was a solidifying game. I mean, that's something that many people are now on the Steelers bandwagon of, like, they have potential of being a true Super Bowl contender. Even Derrick Henry was praising them after the game because they only held them 75 yards. I mean, he was openly saying and speaking highly on the Steelers. You know, they're undefeated coming into this game, but I think, you know, as you've mentioned, because there's some gaps in the league, as always. You know, the Ravens are 5-1, having beaten some of those teams on the other end of the gap. Right. Whereas the Steelers are coming in undefeated, and that convincing win to give the Titans their first loss was like, okay, we've got a team here. So I do think not only is this a rivalry game, but it is a statement game for both teams because it's another matchup against two top teams in the league to really see what you've got. You know, this is a true test. You know, this is a real opportunity to see, all right, is either team's record a fluke? Are we going to see, I feel like the Steelers this year with Big Ben, this is a Steelers team that you weren't really expecting as much from. You know, they kind of are the same every year. You know, they might get to the first round of the playoffs and get knocked out. You kind of always are expecting them to reach the same level, but it kind of feels a little different about the Steelers. So I'm excited to see this game for that reason alone, because you want to see how do they continue to progress each week. And is this a serious Steelers team we have to watch out for, versus is it a team that right now maybe just struck lightning in a bottle at the right time? So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see this matchup. Who do you think is going to be a player that's going to be a game changer, a sleeper? Because we always expect the, you know, Lamar versus Big Ben. We always expect the big names. But who's someone that you think is going to be a big player and component in this game on either side?
I think for the Steelers offense, it's going to have to be Eric Ebron. With the corners that the Ravens have, I really do anticipating those guys again locked up. But if Big Ben can find Ebron and he can have a big game, and the running backs are going to have to show up too. I don't really think that James Conner and Jalen Samuels can really do anything against that Ravens defensive front. But if Eric Ebron can get going, they can just get moving. And if that offensive line for Pittsburgh can hold Big Ben up, because the Ravens have just been absolutely demolishing quarterbacks over the past few weeks. So, I mean, you know that firsthand. But that's going to be the thing I'm going to see when Pittsburgh has the ball. Can the offensive line keep Big Ben up? Can he do some of the things that makes him Big Ben? You know, someone gets a hold of him, he shakes him off, run around, find somebody open. It's the most frustrating thing in the world to see if you're a Ravens fan. But that's just what he does. I'm not going to hate on him. Definitely Hall of Fame quarterback. But if he can do those things, then I think, you know, he's going to give the Ravens trouble. Now, when the Ravens are on offense, I want to see the running backs. Can they get past that Steelers defensive front? Because they've, you know, they made Saquon Barkley look absolutely horrible in week one. They shut down Derrick Henry like he wasn't just like an all-pro. So can Mark Ingram, J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, can those guys really get going? And Lamar himself, can he get going too? I hate to put Lamar in with the running backs, but that's a whole nother story. But can the run game get going? And also, can this passing game get going? Can they actually sustain drives? Can they have long drives keep Big Ben off the field? That's just something that the Ravens are going to have to do on Sunday. And they're going to have to put up points every drive, because I think that the Steelers can move the ball. You know, Chase Claypool has been a really surprising receiver coming out, and Juju Smith is still Juju Smith, but it's going to be a while. It's going to be a good one. I'm excited, but I'm nervous because these games are just always just, oh, goodness gracious.
I don't have a horse in this race, so I'm just excited to see some good football, because all that I'm appreciating right now is chances to watch good football. But yes, as a fan of us, for you as a Ravens fan, for anyone that's a Steelers or Ravens fan, good luck, because this is going to be an interesting one.
Steelers fans will tell you that these things are heart attacks for them too. So,
oh yeah.
Oh boy.
Without a doubt. It's never easy whenever you're playing a divisional opponent, especially these two teams, with all the history they have, with them always being, you know, with them being right there neck and neck. Yeah, it's just, it's, this is going to be set up to feel as though it's like a playoff game.
I completely agree. And this will set the playoff race going.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, enough Ravens talk. We'll see what happens as they take on the Steelers Sunday for the battle of the AFC North. Well, across the rest of the NFL, we've seen a lot of big plays, big hits, big catches, big throws. We've got to get into it right here on Locked On Wizards. Renee Washington, host of Locked On Wizards, joined by the host of Mobtown Blitz, Anthony Barkley, as we've been talking around the NFL. A lot has been going on throughout the league and the NFL's return. I'm so happy to have football back. We have seen a lot of great football. We've seen injuries. You know, we've seen some of the best players in the league right now that are done for the season, Dak and OBJ, the first two that come to mind. You know, what are your thoughts on the way that the NFL has returned? And now as we're starting to see fans come back, you know, watching that return as well.
Yep, Ravens get their first chance to go into M&T this Sunday. That's going to be huge. It's been lovely to see just from you didn't really know what kind of product that you were going to get on the field with a very, very short offseason, not really being able to hit. Not really being able to meet up, but the quality of football has been absolutely amazing. So, you know, kudos to the players for really getting in shape and getting focused and playing. And the injuries have just been absolutely insane. Some people say it's because of no preseason. Some people say because of the shortened workouts that they've been able to do over the summer. I don't know which is which, but it's really sad to see, especially with Dak and OBJ, especially, you know, Dak on a franchise tag too. I really feel bad for him. That absolutely sucks. But just, yeah, the injuries, I said, like I said, I don't really know what to make of it. I don't know if it's COVID related. I don't know if it's just football. I'm just going to really hang my head on mostly it's just football, because a lot of these are just regular injuries, but they're happening at a lot higher pace.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you look at something like an ACL with OBJ, Saquon Barkley, you know, that unfortunately it does happen, but you have to wonder how much of it is a result of just not having had a chance to ease back in and have OTAs, preseason, contactless practices, get those reps in, you know, running your plays. You know, you have to wonder how much of it is a factor. And I even think back to like those opening weeks, the plays that we saw. It just, to me, screamed, I'm not ready yet. Like, we're not ready to play yet. But, I mean, one of the things that I do hope is that it continues to progress and get better. You know, an injury like Dax, that's just so unfortunate. That's a contact injury. But you hate to see that happen to any player, regardless who you're a fan of. You hate to see a player not be able to perform, to go down like that. And season-ending injuries and career-changing injuries. When you talk ACLs, when you talk about the surgery needed for Dak for his ankle and that, you know, terrible fracture that he had, these aren't your typical sprained ankle or whatever. You know, these are serious injuries, and you just never know how a player is going to return. But as we talk around injuries, and I know I mentioned Saquon Barkley, I have to get your thoughts because I haven't had a chance to talk about it on the show yet. Thursday night, Daniel Jones streaks out, breaks out. First of all, Eagles, come on. I don't know where our defense was at all. It just was not good. First of all, the fact we had to have a comeback win over the Giants in itself was sad.
The NFC.
But the fact that Daniel Jones ran 80 yards and tripped, a slow fall, not a quick fall, not like I tripped over a piece of grass, an immediate fall, like a slow stumbling old man fall to the ground in what would have been a touchdown. But then I want to get your thoughts on that, but I actually also want to get your thoughts on the bigger piece, which is the fact that one of the initial pieces that came out was comparing Daniel Jones' top speed at that time to Lamar Jackson. What?
I didn't know Daniel Jones was as fast as he was when I saw the run. I was like, oh, he's got wheels. And then just the slip and fall. And I was like, how? Like, how does that? That is so NFC East right there. And
it is. It is.
It's very on brand for the NFC, the NFC East this season. I have no idea. Like, did he just not? Like, did he not have any balance? Did he lean forward a little bit more than? I have no idea. I don't know how you do that. I could probably run 80 yards and 10 times out of 10 that wouldn't happen. So that was just hilarious to see. I couldn't believe it. I just said, oh man, how on brand for the NFC East.
And but in yes, a straight line. And he wasn't bobbing line. And weaving or it's like you can even flip, like ball.
No one was coming. Right. And fall. I mean,
nobody's near you.
It was Tim in the end zone. And then he just slipped and fell. But the fact that they tried to compare his run to his top speed run to Lamar's is laughable, because if you put Lamar and Daniel Jones in a race, I guarantee you 10 times out of 10, Lamar won that race. But
yeah, I mean, to me, it was unnecessary.
I think it's just kind of ESPN, like, just being ESPN, you know, no shade on them, but I think that's just the things that they do. Fun little stats, but always trying to make a comparison or always trying to bring big time players up.
I guess.
Yeah.
First of all, there's a fact for everything. There's always a stat for everything. Mm-hmm. Like somebody will scratch their nose and jump up and down, and they'll be like, oh, the last time someone scratched their nose and jumped up and down was in 1977. Like there's literally a stat for everything. But that, I mean, that was incredible to me, because I was like, all right, just let this be what it is. I know I tweeted out, like, this is just this play itself directly is just all that we have seen in 2020.
Absolutely.
If I had to put 2020 into a clip, that would be it. But another clip that we actually saw that was exciting for an incredible other way, DK Metcalf.
That
the Seahawks were playing the Cardinals, hustle. And he chased down Buda Baker hustle. After that.
Hustle. Like, first of all,
he's a monster.
You rarely ever see anything like that from receivers. So, and the fact that everyone is still talking about that play, even though the Seahawks lost that game, shows you how impressive Buda had nothing but open grass in front of him. And DK Metcalf is a very, very large man. Like, he's
very, you know, large.
Everyone's
man.
Seen the pre-draft picture of him just like swole up at the gym. And the fact that he can run that fast and chase down, and Buda's not a slow person either. So, I mean, hey, one of the great hustle plays. Now, if the Seahawks had won that game, that's everywhere. That plays everywhere. It's all over SportsCenter. It's all over your morning talk shows. And that's the play that defined the game. But unfortunately, you know, for the Seahawks, it didn't work out that way. But I'm very impressed. I mean, you know, you're talking about that play. Then you got the Baker Mayfield game-winning touchdown pass to Donovan Peoples-Jones. Was one of the really good plays this weekend. Just great football. Just great football all around.
And we've been seeing some, like, one-of-a-kind plays, you know, for as much as we talk about the injuries, we're not seeing fans getting back, which is exciting. I know for the Eagles, they're looking to have fans come back as they take on the Cowboys, which is exciting. But also plays like DK Metcalf, the chase down of Buda Baker, is just kind of like, this is what it's all about. He was not the closest player.
Right. You just see him come out the screen, off screen.
Right.
And then just chase down. I'm like, bruh, this is.
So when it first happened live, I didn't realize where he ran from. And then when I watched it again and I actually saw him pass like a handful of people.
Exactly.
Chase him down. That's what made it even more incredible. Like you could have given up on that play. Mm-hmm. Although the Seahawks still lost, he still stopped the Cardinals from getting a touchdown.
Right.
You know, obviously things did not work out in their favor in the long run, but that's what you want to see from one of your best players on the team, that he's putting in that much effort to bust back, get a tackle when he could have just stopped and given up. Like other people were possibly, well, I don't know if they were fully jogging, but nobody else caught him.
Right.
That's what you love to see.
Yeah, that sprinter speed was one of the best plays this season, just from an effort standpoint. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you're talking about one-of-a-kind plays. Just look at any offensive plays that Kansas City running. Those guys and their imagination is just unreal, and it's not – I feel like it's just not fair.
It's just not fair.
As a fan of a team in the AFC, and I know that my team's going to have to see that team again, it's not fair. Like, the things that they're doing.
Yeah.
Then he had Le'Veon Bell, and I'm just like –
As if it wasn't hard enough.
As if it wasn't hard enough.
We've got as we're talking around, you know, to me, the Browns actually looked surprisingly good after OBJ went down. Baker Mayfield seemed like Baker Mayfield again, as you talk about his game-winning touchdown pass. But then you also have the Chiefs, who are looking like a Super Bowl champ again. You know, it's incredible to see which teams right now are kind of coming into stride, and bringing in Le'Veon Bell is like a cheat code. Come on. Are you kidding?
I mean, drafting Edwards-Helaire too. I'm sitting there on draft night watching, and I'm just like,
you've got Edwards-Helaire and Le'Veon Bell.
Is that legal? I don't think that's legal.
I don't think so.
It shouldn't be legal. And
it should not be legal.
And then watching them against Houston week one, and I was like, I tweeted out and I said, that team literally looks better than the team last year that won a Super Bowl. This is going to be a rough one. And
this is gonna be, yeah, they can definitely, they definitely looking like they can repeat right now.
Oh yeah, it's,
you know,
it's
barring any, as long as they stay healthy, because I, you know, knock on wood, I don't want that to be an issue, but this team on paper right now, that's a Super Bowl champ right there. They definitely could be a contender, because I, you know, looking across the league, I just, you don't see anybody that right now on both sides of the ball is playing the way that they are.
Yeah, I will say, even as a Ravens fan, that Kansas City is probably the most complete team this season.
Oh,
outside
wow.
that rare game against Las Vegas, I do think they're the most complete team. People sleep on their defense, and their defense has absolutely gotten better. But offensively and defensively, it's just – it's unreal. They have a great pass rush. They have great secondary. And Patrick Mahomes is just going to be Patrick Mahomes. So is there not really too much you can do about that. You got – it's one of those teams that, like, you hope to slow down. You know you really can't stop them.
Right, right.
You have to slow a team like Kansas City down.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. That's a great point. Well, I do want to get your thoughts on the NBA as well. So we will continue discussing more around the NBA as Anthony returns back to the show tomorrow. We've had a great opportunity in this NFL edition to break down the Baltimore Ravens, the NFL as a whole, the league's return in terms of injuries, big plays, big moments. So much to get into across football. Well, Anthony, thank you for joining us on the show. Excited to have you back on as we take a look at what we've been seeing around the proposed changes in the NBA, as well as how it impacts certain teams. We will be discussing that here on the show tomorrow. So hit that subscribe button and keep up with all the content we've got going on each and every day. Trying to bring you guys some special stories, editions, interviews, updates, news across the Wizards, the NBA, and all things sports here on Locked On Wizards. I'm your host, Renee Washington. I hope you have a great rest of your day. I'm looking forward to more talk around the NBA tomorrow, and some Wizards news on Friday. So stay tuned for more right here on Locked On Wizards. Washington, out.